Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles for a few moments, Romans chapter 8. Title of the message is, Are We More Than Convinced? Praise the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 8. I need to be turned down. Matt's not here, so somebody needs to turn me down. I don't think Matt can reach it from where he's at, so he had to work today. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? And these things are, I guess, just life in general. What shall we say to these things? If you read go back and read above that, it kind of explains that in Romans above that. But what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I guess I could sum this up in 2 seconds so we can all go home, but that's not going to happen, but Are we more than convinced about just what I read? Sometimes I watch church people and I wonder, are you really convinced? Are you? Are you convinced about if God be for us? Now, that word if in that scripture is not a if of doubting or an attitude of could be or might be. But rather that word if is a word that leans to the line of certainty and assurance. You know, I used the scripture last week in Luke chapter 1 when Luke was writing to, his readers, but he was said in Luke chapter 1, inasmuch as we have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. And verse number 4 says, why was he writing this? What's the point? That you may know the certainty of those things in where you've been instructed. Are you convinced? You know, Luke says that you may know the certainty of those things in where you've been instructed. And Theophilus had been instructed in certain things, but Luke wants him to know a little bit more. You know, there's a difference between great teaching and ordinary teaching. There's a great difference in a little bit of power and a whole lot of power. And so, do we enable others to know, or do we just pass on some body of content? When you witness, are you really into it, or is it just Jesus loves you and out the door you go? Or is there a passion to it? See, God's a person, not a concept. You know that. We can be instructed in a concept. We can only know a person. We can't teach certain rules to govern relationships. We may try. We may tell our 6-year-old, your aunt's coming over, and this is how you're going to act while she's here. And this is exactly what you're going to say why she's here. And before she walks out the door, the little 6 years old broke half of the things you told him. You can't teach people how to act. You can't teach people relationships. We got to understand that it starts with the heart. And so Luke is saying, this is not really a new teaching about the concept of God. He's saying to Theophilus, I want you to know the truth. I want you to know the truth of God and the person of Jesus Christ. And we need to know God through his son, Jesus. Because there can be no doubt in our mind that God is indeed for all of his believers and all of his children. We cannot doubt that one second. David wrote in Psalms and said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He also says in Psalms 124, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us, the streams had gone over our souls, then the proud waters had gone over our souls. Blessed be the Lord who had not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. All of this describes what would have happened if God had not been on Israel's side. She would have been devoured. She would have been drowned. She would have vanished. Her existence in the world that she lived in was not determined by her economic and political strength, but by the God who had called her into being and the God that she worshiped. And we got to learn that same lesson today. You know, sometimes we smugly stand and assume that the existence of the church and the church's ministry depends on me or depends on the teachers or depends on you. And this might be true if we're talking about the programs or how to get the yard mowed or how to get the church cleaned. Those are accomplished by human effort. Yeah, we know that. But if we're going to really see a move of God like we want to see a move of God, it's going to come by divine effort and not by us. We're not going to be able to conjure it up. We're not going to be able to pray it up. It's going to come by a divine effort through the power of God if we're going to see a move of God. And it seems like the church is always one generation from extinction. And if the Lord had not been on her side, where would the church be today? I have no idea. But the good news about it is he is on our side. And the good news about it is, amen, that no matter what, nothing can separate us from his power. Paul writes to the Romans and he said, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is indeed, amen, with his people, but we've got to understand there are qualifications that goes along with that. Amen, I'm telling you what, the things that we don't understand is the things, amen, that is God's business. Sometimes we try to, amen, get God down on our level and we want God to do it our way. We want God to do it this way. And one of the first problems that we have in dealing with God, amen, is God moves at his own pace. Amen, we run into trouble because God's not moving fast enough for us. Amen, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to be able to hurry God. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care, amen, what you try to do. Abraham tried to hurry God and tried to help God along and mess things up. Amen, also God's, amen, works in his own manner. You will not tell him how to do it. Amen. When you read about Paul's life, do you think Paul wanted to go through all the things that he went through? No, you're not going to tell God amen, how to do it. And also it is his might. Amen, this might be the one of the most important things. Amen, it is upon his terms and upon his conditions. Amen, that we make it. Amen, and we better take it to heart. And it is as his faith, and it is repentance, and it is obedience. Amen, and a close walk with him. Amen, if we don't walk in faith, and we don't have a repentance heart, and we don't walk in obedience, and we don't follow hard after him, I better tell you, God's going to be so far from you. Amen, you're going to wonder where he's at. Amen, if you want this man called Christ, amen, to walk with you and to be with you, amen, you're going to have to realize that it's going to be on his terms, and it's going to be on his conditions. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, amen, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, amen, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I'm here to tell you, God's going to walk with you, and God's going to be with you. Amen. But we're going to have to commit our life to him. Amen. Every aspect of our life, we're going to have to give to him, because God expects it. God requires it. He requires a people of obedience. He requires a people of repentance. He requires a people who's going to walk in faith if we're going to walk close to him today. And when I have the benefits that he's going to give us today, amen, we're going to have to walk with him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you're bought with a price. It says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There are two things in this world which God is especially interested in, his truth and his people. Romans chapter 3 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, when we walk with him, he'll keep his eyes upon us. But these words, they got a ring in our heart. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? It's kind of a strange question, but I want you to think on this. Who can be against us? There are things that are against God's people. I'm going to be honest with you. Satan's against us. All his force, all his malice, all his skill are in opposition to you as a child of God. That's why Paul writes in Ephesians 6:11 to do what? Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why? Well, Luke said, we write these things to you so you will know and understand there's a certainty about it, the things that you have been instructed in. So why do we put on the whole armor of God? So you can stand against the wiles of the devil. What else is against God's people? The world. It's against us. The world's never going to forgive you because you broke off from it. Nor can it forget that the life of a Christian should be in rebuke of the world on a daily basis. I got to stand against the world. The world hates me because I'm not part of it. I broke away from the world when I came to Jesus. Now, I got to stand in opposition to the world on everything that it stands for. I got to stand in rebuke of that, and people don't like to hear that. If God's going to walk with us, if God's going to be for us, we're going to have to walk with God, and we don't want to stand up, and we don't want to tell people anymore, you got to live right. You don't hear that anymore. You got to live right. You got to do the right thing. You got to be in a right frame of mind. You got to have a right attitude. People don't want to hear that anymore. See, the Bible says in John, It says in John 15, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That's why we're in opposition of it, because they don't stand with us. They hate us on a constant basis. There's other things that seems like it's against us. Satan's against us. It seems like the world's against us. And then sometimes it seems like life's against us. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, it says this about the world. It says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. I mean, life has a way, if we're not careful, it can beat you down, but life can also point you to the work of grace. According to our view, the work of grace is God's most beautiful and costly work. What does Ephesians say about us in 2:10? It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, amen, unto good works, which God hath therefore ordained that we should walk in them. If we are indeed God's workmanship, amen, if we are to call the work of grace, the worth of grace is that unmerited favor. It's indeed the work of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We may be, amen, in so much trouble. We may be in a lot of, amen, hassle of this world and trouble of this world. And we know that this world brings a lot of things against us. And there's a lot of issues that's going on in this life. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. If God be for us, people, who can be against us? Amen. Why do we wring our hands? Amen. Why do we say, woe is me? Why do we pull the covers over our head? Amen. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, amen, chapter 32, it tells you to be strong and courageous. It says, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than them with him. With him is an arm of flesh. Oh, but with us is the Lord. Amen. Our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested upon themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, amen, the king of Judah. This text does not, amen, imply the absence of danger. It does not imply the absence of opposition. Amen. Both scripture, amen, teaches us just the contrary. Amen. The meaning that this is saying is there is nothing. Now listen to me, people. There is nothing that's going to prevail, amen, against God's people. I don't care what you face. I don't care where you're headed. I don't care how big the devil seems to be. I don't care how much the devil is howling. I'm here to tell you today, if God be for us, come on, people, who can be against us? I don't care what the devil says is going to happen. I don't care how much doom and gloom might be around you. I'm here standing before you to tell you this. Now, if God be for you, did you hear me today? I said, if God be for you, if God be for you, if God be for you, who can be against you today? Nothing is going to prevail against the church as long as we stand with him and by him and for him. Nothing is going to prevail against the church today. Are you convinced? Are you convinced today? I know sometimes it looks bleak. I know it. What God is for us, what God does for us, when God comes into us, something happens to the believer. There's an independence that comes on him from religion. There's an independence that comes on him from human authority. It's the independence of man and the independence of religion. It's necessary to have a total dependence on God. You got to turn your back on the establishment. You got to turn your back sometimes on what the church is trying to tell you. If the church doesn't line up with the Word of God, we need to veer away from it. That's why the Bible teaches you to study to show yourself approved. Listen to what Peter said to them in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John answered unto them and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John's response to the threats of the high priest should be memorized and kept ready for life's tight places. When we are tempted to give in or cave in, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more to God, he's saying, you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we have seen nor heard. The impact has echoed throughout the ages of martyrs, gallant saints, under heavy persecution, under heavy attack. Hey man, when it came right down to their life, they had the attitude that Martin Luther had when he said, here I stand, I can do no other. I'm not giving in because I know God's with me. I'm not backing up because I know God's with me. I'm convinced today. Don't miss the fact that it's what the apostles had seen and heard that prompted their statement that encompasses their life with Jesus, his death. Oh, come on, listen to what, just think about what they saw when they walked with Jesus. The miracles that they saw. They saw him hanging on a cross. They saw him put into a tomb. Amen. A lot of them didn't go to the tomb, but many of them, amen, was eating dinner, Brother Brian, and he walked right into the room. Amen. They were in the upper room when the power came, and they said, we have seen and we have heard. Amen. They saw the miracles that was done through them. Their attitude was this: nothing less for us. We have it all. Amen and more. Amen. I'm telling you what. Amen. A spirit of patience under the pressure of trial. If God is with us and on our side, why should we faint? Why should we wring our hands? Why should we worry our minds? Amen. We should have a confidence of the final outcome, and the final outcome is we're the victors. Amen. We're the victors. Amen. I don't care of all the dark clouds that rest upon us. I don't care of everything that happens to us. I'm going to tell you what. Amen. It seems like iniquity's prevailing. Amen. But it's really not, because one drop of the blood of the Lamb, amen, will set men free. One drop, amen, will destroy the devil. Just a mention of his name will put demons to flee. I'm standing before you, and I'm staying the day. If God be for us, come on, people, who can be against us? If I'm walking with him and living with him, amen, I got the creator of the whole world, amen, standing right next to me today. If God be for me, who can be against me? I know when we look around and see what's going on, it seems like the devil's prevailing. It seems like this world has lost its mind. It seems like the dark clouds are resting upon the ways of God. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Iniquity shall not always prevail. There's coming a day. Did you hear me? There's coming a day when that trump shall sound. Jesus is going to step out on the clouds of glory. And his church, His righteous people will be caught away. Iniquity is going to meet its end in the lake of fire, revelations tell me. So what I'm telling you today is, God's with you. Don't lose hope. He's walking with you. Don't lose hope. We got to sometimes walk by faith. I don't always, if I walk by sight, I'd have given up a long, long time ago. But I walk by what I know. I walk by the certainty of those things that I have been instructed in. I walk by the faith that he's still on the throne. See, I walk by this scripture right here of Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It does. I'm going to tell you right now, this is a bold statement, but it does not matter what tomorrow brings. Because God doesn't change. It doesn't matter what next week brings or next month brings, because God never changes. Listen to what Isaiah writes at 40:28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Now, those are two question marks. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? It's almost like saying, are you convinced that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, listen, fainteth not. Ha. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He asked them to remember what they have heard and what they have known. He is God. That won't change. I don't care what happens tomorrow. He's God. That's not going to change. I don't care if this earth blows into a billion pieces, Brian. He's still God.
Yes, he is.
Okay? I don't care if the apocalypse takes place in the next 15 minutes, Sister Loretta. He's still God.
Yes.
We judge God sometimes on what happens to us and how it works out for us. That's how we judge God. But that doesn't matter. If it doesn't work out the way I think it would, I just said it a few minutes ago, we can't tell God how to do it. Do you think the Apostle Paul wanted to be shipwrecked, wanted to be beaten, wanted to have the cares on the church, hungry and this and that and the other? Go read the, amen, Corinthians, find out what he went through. Do you think he wanted to go through them? Do you think he volunteered? Hey, how many of us are sitting at home saying, God, put me through the ringer? Put me through the ringer. Oh, God, go ahead, run me through it. Amen. I want to be like Job. Go ahead, God, just pour it out on me. I want to have the boils, and I want to have this, and I want to lose that. Not a one of you are doing that. But I'm telling you, if it happens, he's still God. Okay? He asked them to remember what they've heard, what they've known. He's the Lord of Jacob and the Holy One of Israel. Also the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. His power never weakens. There's never a power outage. He never has a power surge. He's just God. He doesn't have to have a power surge because he has all the power. Okay? He will never, as Brother Jade spoke of last Wednesday night, hey man, that light bulb got its source from an external power. God doesn't get his source from his power from an external source, because he is the source. He is the source of that power. He is the source of that greatness. He is the source. He didn't have to plug the wire in somewhere and said, let there be light. He spoke it and it came into existence. Amen. His understanding is perfect. With that declaration of his omnipotence and his omniscience, therefore those whom he is for, they are sure to have him no matter what. Amen. No matter what comes against them, God's for us. Amen. I have that assurance. Amen. That calms my fears. Oh, the Bible says that Abraham was strengthened in Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I'm thy shield, an exceedingly great reward." Abram, the Lord came to Isaac, and the Lord appeared unto him at that same night and said, "I'm the Lord God of Abraham thy father. Amen. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." Amen. Let me make a statement right now. Amen. The devil has power. Amen. But God has all power. Amen. The devil might have a little power. Amen. But God's the Almighty. Amen. Did you hear me? He trumps hell. Amen. Every time the enemy comes in, the Bible said he raises a standard against him. By God's all power, all anointing, all greatness, he's an awesome God today. And I'll tell you what, people, he's right by my side every single day of my life. He strengthened me. He upholds me. He comforts me. He nurses me. Whatever I need, he's that to me. Amen. If God be for me, why should I worry about what tomorrow may bring? If God be for me, nothing shall be against me. I think so many times, we as God's people need to just relax. We need to just calm down. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves when we see that, you know, it's like a storm rolling in. We can see the storm rolling in. Uh-oh. And I hope not out of your mouth is, uh-oh, here we go again. I hope not. I hope you stand up and with the anointing of the Holy Ghost begin to rebuke the storm clouds of your life and say, "No, you don't, devil. There's a bloodline you can't cross. You know what? There's a line you're not able to come across. That's the blood of the Lamb that's been applied to my life." I do not like to see God's people, and that's why I ask you in the title of the message, "Are you convinced?" I don't like to see God's people let just an inch of doubt in. Don't crack the door for doubt. You ever crack the door to see who's out there? Don't crack the door to doubt, because it just takes a little crack to allow it to slide right in. And once it slides right in, it begins to take root. It begins to grow in your mind. Next thing you know, you're questioning everything, from the color of socks you wear to the pants you wear to how big your God is. You just question everything. And I'm thinking, if we're convinced, then the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I preached a message, just came to my mind many, many years ago. And the message title was, "You need to go back to the trophy case. And you need to stand in front of your trophy case. And you need to remind the devil, this is my trophy when I defeated you through the power of Jesus. And there's another one that I defeated you. When I went to school, in one part of the high school, they had this big trophy case. All the trophies that all the sports teams has won. You need to drag the devil by the ear and drag him right back and said, look at this one and look at that one. Amen. The reason I've got all these trophies, it means I won. I wasn't defeated. And we need to remember that. Amen. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. If I can win that battle, what's the difference of this battle? If I can be an overcomer last month, why can't I be an overcomer this month? If I could stand in victory last month, why can't I stand in victory this month? Amen. What's changed? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, he hasn't changed. Amen. We changed. Are you convinced today? If God is for you, who can be against you? That's the question you need to ask yourself today. That's the question that needs to reverberate in your mind today. What's changed? The Bible talks about, and I just read it there, he's the everlasting God. Everlasting means the same. Hebrews, it's not in my notes, but Hebrews says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's changed? Well, a lot of times we change. We don't pray. We don't come to church. And I'm telling you what, you can't miss church because you might miss a lawnmower on the way home. Ask Sister Lois about that after church. That's all I'm going to say. Now, I'm serious. Ask Sister Lois after church what I'm talking about. She'll tell you what happens. I'm just going to tell you what happens. She wasn't feeling well. She wasn't going to come to church last Sunday. She got herself together. And they came to church. Bill's been wanting to buy a little push mower around the house. He didn't want to drop $300 on a push mower. They came to church, same way home. Brother Al, on the way home from church, there's this lawnmower sitting out. Bill, I'm going to check it out. He whips around, comes back over. It's a brand, well, it's an old one, but it's never been used. A Craftsman push mower. The original manual is still with it. And there's a note on that. If you want it, take it. Happy mowing. I told him last night, I said, that's a God thing. You know what he told me today? He goes, I told Lois, maybe I ought to drive my truck to church today. Huh? That's thinking outside the box, ain't it? He wanted a lawnmower if God be for us. Not only can none of this be against us, but I read he will freely give us. Freely give us things. What's a push mower call, self-propelled Craftsman? $400? But he got one brand new. Cranked right up, started right up. Free. If Lois would have propped her feet up and watched Jimmy Swaggart at home, he wouldn't have got that lawnmower. Instead, she came to Brookfield Full Gospel Church of God to hear Kevin Nelson preach, and she got that lawnmower. Got to have your priorities straight. I'm just saying, in the small things, that's God speaking to you in the small things, that I'm for you. Huh? That I'm for you. That's not a big deal to me, because I'd have seen that lawnmower and just kept right on driving, because if I'd have got that lawnmower, I'd have had to mow grass, and I don't like to mow grass, so I'm moving on down the road. Let Bill have that lawnmower. But for him, he asked for it, and he got it. So we got to understand that God opens up so much more when we allow him into our being. Let God get his finger into your business and see what happens in your life. Your life will begin to change, amen, like you can't even imagine. Yeah, there's going to be adversity. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be smooth sailing. I'm not going to tell you you're going to have wind for your sails the whole time. I'm not going to tell you that your sails aren't going to get torn once in a while. But what I am going to tell you, Brother Brian, is the anchor will hold. Yes. When you toss it out your boat, and you're being tossed this way and tossed that way, I'm going to make a statement. The anchor's going to hold. I'm going to make a statement that he's going to take care of me. When the dark clouds rise, all we got to do is just a mention of his name. Jesus. Jesus. That's all it takes. So are we convinced today? He strengthened Abraham. I'm going to get ready to close. I know this wasn't a long message, but I'm going to get ready to close. One of the last words Jesus spoke to his disciples was, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Are you convinced of that? When we get convinced of these things, the devil gets a little worried about us. When we get convinced that he's God, the devil gets a little worried about what we might do, because the Bible says the violent taketh it by force. God must be on the side of his people, since he entered into an everlasting covenant. He swore by himself to be their heir, to be their God. There's nothing in God, in his dealings or his providence, that he doesn't put his people first. When we see the vast armies of the enemy coming against us, what do? I ask you, how many in here thinks the Lord God Almighty is our commander? How many in here thinks the Lord of hosts is his name? And I have under the best authority for saying this, that the chariots of God are more than the chariots of the enemy. What did the servant see when God opened his eyes? He saw the mountains surrounded by chariots of fire. I'm telling you what, the devil knows our weak points. I know that. I know he knows how to cover the hookup with the bait. I know he knows how to lie, and I know he knows how to deceive. But the Bible says in John, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as I said earlier, the devil's mighty, but God's almighty. I seen it run across this little story. And you might have seen it. I don't know if you did or not, but a daughter came over to her dad's house and she started complaining to her dad about life. How miserable it was. She didn't know what she was going to do or how she was going to make it, and she was tired of fighting. She was tired of struggling all the time. And it seemed like it was just one problem after another problem. Her dad really didn't seem to be paying any attention to her, she thought. He got up and he went into the kitchen. She followed him in there and she said, "Aren't you listening to me?" He never said a word. He took three pots, placed them on the stove, and in these three pots, he added water. He let the water come to a boil, and in the first pot, he put potatoes. Second pot, he put eggs. And the third pot, he put ground coffee beans. He waited for about 20 minutes. He took out the potatoes, put them on a plate, took out the eggs, put them on a plate, poured the coffee in a cup. And he goes, "What do you see?" And she says, "I see potatoes, eggs, and coffee." He goes, "Go over and touch the potatoes. What do you see?" She goes, "They're soft." "Check the eggs out." She walked over and she cracked one of the eggs and she goes, "Well, it's hard boiled." He goes, "Check out the coffee." And she picked it up and she took a drink of it and she said, "That's pretty good." She goes, "So what?" He said, "All three of these face the same elements. The boiling water changed the potatoes to soft. The boiling water changed the eggs to hard. But the coffee beans changed the water. They all face the same adversity. But the beans changed the water. It changed the adversity. It made something anew out of it." So as I read that, I thought, "Well, God, which one am I? Am I the potato that when life gets hard, I just turn soft, or I turn hard like the egg, or am I the coffee bean when life comes, I change the situation?" Right. But see, because greater is he that is in me, that's what allows me to change the situation. That's what allows me not to get soft. That's what allows me not to get hard or bitter by life. All three of them faced the same thing, but only one changed the water. Which one are you? I want to be the bean. I want to be the coffee bean that changes the water, makes something good out of it. We all face certain adversities. We all go through life. We all got issues. We all got problems. Your problem's no bigger than mine. Mine's no bigger than yours, but we all have them. But which one are you when these problems arise? Because he lives within me. that allows me not to fall apart, as I say all the time, like a $2 toy. Because he's walking with me and I have committed my life to him, I don't want to jump in the boiling water. There's times you have to. There's times there's no choice about the adversities of life and you've got to face it. You can't dig a hole and stick your head in it. You can't hide under the bed and shut your house up. You can't do it. So what are you going to do? I want to be the being, don't you? And this scripture jumps out at me all the time. I believe God's yelling and screaming it at me all the time. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That might be something we quote all the time, but I want to tell you what, that allows me to get up in the morning and know that I can get through the day. That allows me to know that when the week comes through, no matter how hard the week might be, at the end of the week, I'm still going to be standing. I'm still going to be praising. I'm still going to give him glory because I can do all things through him which strengtheneth me. So I'm asking you today, are you convinced? Are you convinced that God's for you? Are you convinced that he's walking with you? Are you convinced that he will freely give you all things? Are you convinced? And the only person that can answer that question is you. But I want to tell you what, church. I've been through enough tussles and enough scrapes with hell to know that God's for me. I've been through too many deserts. I've had to climb too many mountains not to know that God's for me. How do I know it, Bev? We're still here. We're still fighting the good fight of faith. That's how I know he's for me. Because the Bible says if God had not been on her side, Israel would have been devoured. She would have been drowned. She would have vanished from the face of the earth. People, we're still here. The devil can't do nothing about it. And I know he hates that. I know he hates when people hit their knees and begin to intercede and begin to seek God and begin to lay before God and tell God, I want to give you my all. How? Why do I do that? Because I know he's for me. I hope you're convinced today. I hope there's no doubt in your mind that he's still on the throne, and there's no doubt in your mind that he's still God. Church, let's find us a place to pray. If you need prayer today, we'll pray for you. If you need prayer, God bless you.